to teaching shall join us later. They are here with us. Minister, without waste of time, no introduction. Let us accord you that opportunity to lead the department. To the committee, and I think it was the right decision. What
on our part to say, let's work, and if there are things that are wrong that are going on in the department, they are going to fall by the wayside, because we've got a clear strategy to turn around the department. Now we are in a very difficult situation. I was thinking when Treasury, when the AG team was saying that the department would respond, I was thinking of both the acting DG, wasn't the acting DG, and the acting CFO wasn't the acting CFO at the time. Now we have got, none of us have got an acting DG and an acting CFO, because the acting DG at the time was Fiso. Fiso went back to CFO position, his actual position. But then Fiso is resigned. And Mbali, who was acting CFO, also is resigned. And so we now have got an acting CFO who has he is sitting there in France. So all of this thing has to do with what has been analyzed this morning very correctly and accurately. But we cannot not act. We have to act, but in terms of acting, we're acting on the basis of material evidence in front of us. Exactly the kind of evidence that presented this morning. And lastly, as a result of that information and what the audit committee working together with the internal audit, when they did an analysis of this report, looking at financials and non-financials and all that, when they presented a summary, a report of, in fact not a summary, a report of their own analysis of this report, I have now, especially in addition to the DRRR that the chair was referring to the last time we met, so I have instructed the acting DG to conduct a full-fledged investigation in that on the basis of the DRRR, as well as the report that has been submitted to us by the audit committee and the head of internal audit, because exactly all the issues that were raised this morning, the performance, the expenditure vis-a-vis the performance of the department, and other issues that are related to this report which was presented this morning. So we are already moving in that direction. But the question, let me just say something about comment on the DG. I was the DG to advertise for the chief financial officer, as well as the chief director responsible for management accounting. So that we can deal with that. Of course, I might just add as well that another of the officials in the finance branch is also submitted, she's serving, and notice now, she's leaving the department as well. These are officials who would have been facing disciplinary action in terms of the consequence management which was coming out of this morning. So that part of it, we're dealing with that. That's why the acting DG or the accounting office, the chief financial officer, has resigned in Kenya, and then the one who was acting in his place also has resigned. And this other one now has also resigned, who was acting when Kiza was acting head of department. This one was acting as CFO. This one was so. This is a situation we're in. It's quite a volatile situation in that sense. But we have to act. We have to act. We have not expelled anybody. We just acted. Once we acted, they just decided to leave. So. But now I've requested the president, because remember, Chair, ministers now, DGs are appointed by the president. They are professional incidents or consequence management as well as the responsibility of the president. So I have written to the president to say I wanted him a director general, and I'm ready to start the process if he commands me to do so. So I have been offered to choose between two directors general, you know, one was in public works, other one in agriculture. I've chosen, I wouldn't want any one of them, but I had to choose, but the guy is not coming through. It's 2 months now. So I don't have a director general in that sense because of that reason. It's not because I have not taken the steps that are supposed to be taken. I'm still expecting the presidency to assist me, you know, with that, with the director general. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister. I assume that the accounting officer now takes over.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Minister, Honourable Member. I think that in the interest of time, I shouldn't really be repeating what has already been indicated to yourself and what you are seeing on the annual report itself, and directly hand over to Ms. Ramuni, who is going to give the presentation, and hoping that she will be must be doing that, and that she will not go through all the slides, but that the gist of the presentation will not be lost.
Good afternoon, honorable members, minister, and colleagues.
As already highlighted, I will move straight to part A to indicate the overview. The slide is referring to the water supply systems in 5 provinces that operated under the drought conditions, as reflected there. This on the right hand side, the indication of the water restrictions that were implemented. You see for Polokwane, there was 20% restriction for all water users, your Massachusetts system. The indication there, 70% for the irrigation, 10% for industrial, and 20% for the domestic. Another issue that we have is the groundwater level trend for the 17-18, where it continued to deteriorate in the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and Northern Cape, and also the KZN, Gauteng, and Mpumalanga depicting very good increase on groundwater. This slide is just a trend analysis of the operation and maintenance that we have. What it depicts is that the allocated budget, as you will see from the previous 5 years, reduced, such that we were not able to do the maintenance work that is required. I think we all know we service our cars so that we are able we can drive them in the manner they're supposed to. So if we are not able to do the operation maintenance of the systems that we have, that has got a lasting effect in the service that has to be delivered. The slide on reflected there is more on the organizational environment, where at the beginning of the financial year 2018, we had said we'll be establishing the senior CMA. However, that decision has now been reviewed and we are working towards senior CMA. On part B, maybe Chairperson, I need to indicate that the slides in part are responding to the letters. It might not be in the order according to the letters is written, but the invite is being responded to. The adjustment for the APP 1718, I think our colleagues from AG did allude to that there were changes on the APP, and from the midterm adjustment, the warnings on program 1, the milestone for program 4, and also the activities that we've done in program 3. With regard to the strategic oriented goals, goal 1 to 5, the goal 5 is the one that we were able to achieve 100%, and the rest of the goals, as depicted on the slide, it was an average of 50%. The key highlights for the 17-18 was that we have 267 graduates who were performing candidacy work, and we were remunerating them. And this is the context is that there is a bursary that the department is offering through the 22 universities. And to date, since the beginning of 2007, we have awarded 842. So for the financial year 17-18, those that were able to complete their candidacy work was 267. In relation to the international relation program, we've had four young graduates being trained in Japan, three having received masters in engineering and one in international relations. Belgium, Botswana, there are corporations that we, corporations that we jointly monitoring and managing the water and quality in the Upper Limpopo. For Namibia, we are also finalizing the North Fuel Strength Feasibility Study, and so that we can increase the yield for the Orange River system. Another highlight is the record of implementation decisions for projects that are listed there, one of them being the MACWAP and the Belg River Forestry Augmentation Scheme. As much as easier due to the privilege you had to listen to the presentation, we do reflect that we've had 8 projects under the WaterSense Infrastructure Grant that were completed, and that there were a number of enforcement blitz that were done in the Western Cape as reflected. The slide 13 is on the analysis of the strategic objectives per program. Program 1, under administration, I think this was touched on the slide from AG also, where we achieved 80%. Program 2 on planning, it's a 50% in, achievement and 50% none. Program 3 has been mentioned several times, and that 80% has not been achieved. And then program 4 on regulation, we achieved a 50-50 of achievement and non-achievement. For the next few slides are just to depict what is it that we have, we're saying we've achieved according to the strategic objective. Under administration, there's issues of targeted procurement that support black entrepreneurs. On the BRR report, Chairperson, we have also alluded and given more information on that. The one that has not been achieved is strategic objective 4.3 on the qualified audit outcome. I think as we discussed, we can link with the previous discussion from the AG. The rest, 4.4, 5.1, 5.2, those targets were achieved. In the interest of time, I will not go through them. For program 2, under planning and information, the strategic objectives that were not achieved is that the river system, where no water resource classes and resource quality objectives are determined, or in the rest we have achieved them. The reason behind strategic objective 1.3 not being achieved is that there has been the public consultations that we were to do took longer than planned, because the stakeholders wanted more time for that, and thus it affected the deliverable that we had originally planned. On continue on getting information, I'll focus on the 2.2, which we did not achieve, on the bulk water supply sanitation infrastructure project that completed. Of that, 14 were not achieved, and there was a reprioritization that had to be done due to the budget constraint phase and also the priority municipalities that we had to look at. The other one that we were not able to achieve was the draft water and sanitation bill, which also required further consultation. Under program 3, the first one on 2.3 that has been achieved. 2.4 on the implementation of the ALP, which was unscheduled, that we only were able to do 54. The reason being that our operation has to earmark the CAPEX budget to cover the operational budget shortfall, and this again affected some of the maintenance projects. You would recall that other slide when we were giving a graph on operation and maintenance and budget shortfall impact. The other strategic objective is 3.2 on the 14.13 million cubic meters of water for smallholder farmers, which we were also not able to meet. As depicted there, we were not able to meet the deliverable as it is demand driven. There are 1,704 job opportunities that we had committed to the country that we will create, and we met by just about 400. We were only able to do to create about 1,196. And this was impacted on by the reduction of the infrastructure projects that we were to have implement in the financial year that we are currently reporting on. Under sector regulation, the 49% compliance level for the mines measured against individual water use entitlement. Of the 49, we were only able to 6% of that was not met, and this is more issues of monitoring that had to be strengthened. The rest I will not go through. The 3.1 on the VNV validation and verification of existing lawful use in the two water management areas. Target was not achieved in one of the water management areas, because the quality assurance for the water management area verified report has not yet been completed at the time of reporting. The next two slides depict the performance, the overall performance of the department. I think earlier there was a question from Honorable Guni about what is the performance of the department. Thus, I must indicate it's a combination of both main account and trading account. The second slide then splits the main account performance and the water trading account, where for the main account, we have a 54% achievement on performance, and with 29% of no achievement at all and 20% on partial. For the water trading, the achievement was 75% with a remainder of 25% not achieved. The spending of the department against the allocated budget. The final appropriation that was provided was 15.6 billion. Of that, we were able to spend 15.1 with a variance of 501,000 that we did not spend, and thus reflecting a 97% expenditure of the 15.6 billion. This slide is an analysis per program in terms of the for the main account, and it's without really taking time repeating what was mentioned, it will show admin 75%, program 2 planning 64%, infrastructure 29%, and regulation 65% in terms of what was achieved. And it is clear there that there are those red areas where we have not achieved anything. This slide is reflecting the expenditure per program according to the economic classification. It was presented earlier to show that the 121% under admin was due to the war on leaks, as mentioned by the AG. The infrastructure program at 95%, planning at 89% expenditure, water sector regulation at 82%, and that is the list that I would want to look line by line. On the overview of the annual financial statement, as reflected, there was the revenue that was 15.6 with an appropriation of 15.60, and the expenditure was at 3.5. We also transferred on note number 7, 8.1 million, and on capital assets we spent 3.3 million. Thus bringing the total expenditure of 15.1 million. The surplus for the deficit for 2017 was 89 million, whilst for 2018 it came to 514,000 surplus. This slide is just providing a summary of the annual financial statement, that our overall underspending is mainly due to the unfunded and overcommitted projects that have a ripple effect over the MTF, and also for the due to the payment of invoices that were not yet processed at the time of the financial year end, which is March 2018. The underspending for the COE compensation of employee of 32.6 million due to the vacant posts that are there across all the four programs in the department. And we need to put it to the meeting again that we are in the process of reviewing the organizational structure. On goods and services, the war on leaks contributed 523 million. The expenditure on the infrastructure planning and also on target eradication program and advisory services of 141. Where is the final funds shift environments reduced overspending to a net amount of 428. For the transfers and subsidies, this would be your normal grants, your regional bulk, WISIF, and what we transfer to the water board. Then there has been an underspending of 234 million, which is attributed to the five bullets that are stated there. One can mention the Almaty water basin as one where transferred, that amount could not be transferred. But I need to amplify that the reason, part of the untransferred amount is also as a result of non-compliance by municipalities. They were not compliant to the DORA conditions, which led to them not supplying us with monthly expenditure reports. There are no closeout reports and non-submission. And to ensure that we comply with what DORA requires for the grants, we can't just transfer without receiving what is due beforehand. Underspending on payment of capital asset was mainly due to 580 million of the regional bulk, and another 32 million for the WISAC and some of the capital expenditure projects. The statement of financial position as depicted, continuing from where I left off on note 8, this is on unauthorized expenditure for the year 2017 is 406 million. So at 2018 at 933. And then without really going into detail, it's depicting on note 16 there the loans that were also issued. 4 is giving a summary of the unauthorized expenditure. I have touched on issues of war on leaks for the 523 million that was from the war on leaks, and also the infrastructure planning services, which of 166, which also contributed to unauthorized expenditure. Prepayment and advances also, the reduction is a result of the TIET account balance, and the remaining amount comprised mainly of the GCIS and DIRCOM advances that we do for Department of International Relations. On the receivables, there was a significant increase due to the claims recoverable of 50.04 million for the 16-17 and 17-18 unpaid rental claims in the WTE water trading entity with a total of 81 million, and also the water infrastructure project under the water trading for 124 million. Slide 35 is providing us with the irregular expenditure, which as of 31 March had increased from 4.179 billion from the 2017 to 6.156 billion. The net increase of 1.9 billion compared to the previous financial year was mostly contributed by the sanitation project, or what people would refer to as the bucket eradication, and also the GIARI, where in your sanitation bucket, irregular was at 840 million, and the GIARI at 800 million. The next one is on the food list, with an amount of 52 million, of which two. So it was resolved during the year, where the outstanding balance now is 16.7 million that is still under investigation. On the commitments from the 16-17 financial year, where we were sitting at commitments of 4.8 billion, when we came to the 17-18 financial year, our commitment had increased to 7.1 billion. The capital commitment relating to infrastructure amounted to 7 billion, while the current commitments are 1.1 billion. Accruals increased to 2 billion as a result of invoices that were received at year end that included goods and services. Of that, from the 2 billion, 1.746 has since been paid after year end. The recoverable revenue that relates to the debtors that we identified and raised in the current year for expenditure that was incurred in the previous financial year. Coming to part C on the performance of the water trading entity, you have financial management and the proto CMA. It's clear there on the slide that the proto CMA achieved 100%. And on financial management, we did not achieve 33%. And this is the annual financial. I would want to go straight to the notes. The total revenue for the transaction reflected improvement of 8% when compared to the prior year due to the annual increase of the water tariff and also the interest charged on overdue accounts from the customers. Expenditure was realized because of the employee benefit costs that increased to 28% as per the annual government approved salary increment, and the non-capitalization of the employee costs for the construction project. It must be noted that most of the projects undertaken by internal construction units were put on hold due to budgetary constraints, and therefore few order books for the external projects were done. On augmentation, the infrastructure project reflected spending within a final allocated budget of the 17-18 financial year. The current assets, the receivable from the exchange transaction showed a 11.2% increase due to non-recovery of debt. The entity is recovering 90% of the billed revenue for the year. Bank overdraft was, the overdrawn account reflected decrease of 5.4% due to strict cash flow management. The reduction is in line with the National Treasury overdrawn account requirement of 748 million. The pumping cost increased, the increase in the 2018 was to replenish the pumping cost reserve, which was significantly utilized in the 16-17 financial year. The next slide, few slides are to indicate the audit outcome predetermined objectives. The selected program for repeated is that for program two, the trend compared to 2016, nothing has changed. And for program three, it shows there's a regression, and the basis being the reliability of Arabic Mega project. And this is was also reported by the AG area. For program four, the sector, water sector regulation also regressed on the basis of usefulness, reliability on the blue and green drop indicator, but also the water use license authorization indicator. The outcome, one would not want to dwell much on it as it has been presented. I think the basis of commitment, fruitless and wasteful, irregular, is what led to the qualified opinion. Both the department and the trading entities received the qualified audit with emphasis on matters. And as reflected, I think I would be repeating what has already been said. Issue in comparing the 2017 and the 2017-18, you can see on from the department issues of fruitless and wasteful expenditure are repeating, issues of irregular expenditure are repeating. Under the trading, the issues on property, plant and equipment and fruitless and wasteful expenditure is what is still continuing. There is an audit action plan that has been developed to address the findings raised by the AG. Some of the key actions that we wanted to highlight is that the plan has a specific corrective action milestone towards achieving compliant interim financial statements as of end of December 2019. There's also issues of improving on contract management processes, strengthening of governance structures and systems of internal control, enforcing consequence management for officials, and we're also saying we need to be moving also to the implementing agent. Alignment of budget from planning processes, and also structured performance management, reporting and addressing compliance. You would recall the DDG Corporate Services, when there was an issue about performance bonuses, he alluded to that bullet. Addressing of the organizational culture and filling of critical vacancies is also another one of the key actions that we are looking at. In the letter, there was an implication of a request for a plan on how we're going to fill the vacancies. So we have submitted that as the appendix C. It shows how we are progressing. Implementation of post-audit action on the commitment. There's a comprehensive reconciliation on all the contractual obligations within the department and the implementing agent. There is improved contract and expenditure management, which is supported by regular and monthly reconciliation. On irregular expenditure, we are strengthening governance structures and internal controls. For the fruitless and wasteful, comprehensive reconciliation that was incurred by the department is to update on the fruitless and wasteful, and I think governance structures still are very important. Property, plant and equipment, the issue of appointing experts to perform annual usefulness life and impairment assessment is highlighted, and to also collect some of the outstanding information that is required from TCTA, like a BOQ, Bill of Quantities, certificate and content schedule, and also componentize the project, including the ones for the acid mine drainage. On the material uncertainty related to the going concern, there was issues of overdraft, unauthorized expenditure, and accrual for the department. And on the far right, the three bullets as a summary is the strict application of controls, the financial recovery plan that has been developed, and the current MTF budget reprioritization. From the trading entity, the going concern was on the deficit, overdraft, accrual, and the three bullets from the similar from the department are there, but also debt management and recovery plan has been developed, and the continuous engagement with Treasury on the overdraft reduction plan. The overview on the human resources, this is providing a summary of the status of the employment and vacancies as of 31 March, with the vacancy rate per level depicted. On the left, the components will be your administration, program 2, 3, 4, and the number of posts that have been filled against that. We do need to indicate that there are 1,054 additional employees to the establishment that have been also appointed. The equity is reflected as the blue for the male, the red for the female, for the white, Indian, colored, and African, and blue for the male is dominant. On attrition during the 17-18, we have shown how that it happened, your resignation, expiry of contract, issues of transfers, retirement, death, in-house, and the dismissal or due to misconduct is depicted. There was also a request that we also talk about misconduct cases. For the 17-18, as stated there, we have indicated the type of misconduct that has happened. And of the list, we have 24, and on a percentage, we finalize those 24. The supplier expenditure for the designated group for the 17-18, we're saying the black-owned companies, there was an amount of 1.32 billion rand that was spent against black-owned companies. For the women-owned, an amount of 162 million, and the veteran-owned, an amount of 1.7 million. Youth, people with disabilities, and those in the township is also depicted on the slide. The analysis on the main account for administration, which would have corporate services, financial management, departmental management, and international water cooperation. It indicates that under departmental management is partially achieved, while financial management only achieves 34%, with a 33% of non-achievement and 33% of partial achievement. This slide just shows you who falls under which with the final appropriation and the variance thereof. You would recall earlier I mentioned that the total expenditure under administration was 121%, which even the AG had reported on. Under the economic classification, it's also depicted. For Program 2, Water Planning Information, I will vote there are six programs, the sub-programs. Of those, two on integrated planning and water information management achieved 100% with policy and strategy, and also water service and local water management at an average of 50% achievement, and water ecosystem which has not achieved, when sanitation management partially achieved. And this is an indication of the budget that they were able to spend, and from a percentage perspective was 88.5%, wherein they had 738 million and they spent 653. Water infrastructure. Without really repeating what has been said, we have the Accelerated Community Infrastructure Program, the Regional Bank Infrastructure Grant, Water Services Infrastructure, the Infrastructure Development Management, and the Operation of Water Resources. As depicted, there is quite at a lower end of non-achievement and partial achievement across all the sub-programs indicated there. And the slide is to show that of the 12.8 billion that was allocated, we realized an expenditure of 94.6%, with a variance from a monetary value of 698 million that was not spent. This is a summary of the infrastructure allocation on the original bank. Your grants that are then directly allocated for the water boards, your GOBA and the water trading entity at the total final appropriation of 12.1 billion, and we were able to spend 11.4 billion, which gives us a 94% expenditure. For the augmentation projects, you have the Olifants, the Honi Daba, raising of the Clenillium, the Hazel near them, Mogolo, some call it Makwap, Dam Safety Rehabilitation, LMD, and the Hudetro Transfer Scheme with a total final actual budget of 1.1 billion with an expenditure of 1.1 billion and a balance of 3.4 million. Under water sector regulation, one would say for economic and social regulation, there is a 43% under performance, pardon me. Also, under institutional oversight, there is a 50% under performance. And then you have a 25% under performance on the water services sanitation regulation. The budget as depicted there, 82.2% was spent of the total budget of 374 million. This next few slides are just a breakdown of the grants per region, indicating how it was allocated. And as you can see, under KZN and Western Cape, there are those amounts of, in KZN of 18 million, that's why the 97%. and Western Cape, where they couldn't spend their 17.98 million allocation. On the indirect grant, the picture depicts that KZN and Mpumalanga are the ones that were at 100% expenditure, followed by Free State, Northern Cape, Gauteng, and Northwest, with the Eastern Cape expenditure at 42%. The water boards, only Mahalis Water and City Bank were. The expenditure was not at 100% with the available balance of 76.1 million for the two water boards. The WISIG direct grant is depicted, and almost all but two have not spent their 100% with the available budget of 24 million that was not spent. On the indirect grant, we have KZN and Northwest who were able to spend their allocation is 96%. With that, I have finished the presentation. I do need to indicate that on the BRR, which was part of what we needed to, I'm not sure check as any guide, but we wanted us to reflect it, not on a presentation form, but we have provided the information and noted some of the recommendations that have been made.
Well, what do you mean when you say you have noted the recommendations? The recommendations are there for looking, noting, and implementation. So just clarify what you mean by noted.
What I meant was that we are going to be implementing the recommendations. For example,
we have started on some of them. There are scratches that you have indicated to where we have
what the colleague is trying to explain, Chair, is that you have a spreadsheet, and on that spreadsheet we have indicated progress on the implementation. We have already started on most of them, Chair. Some are work in progress. That's what it's meant to be. And what she's also indicating is where you will find such on the presentation and on the annual report itself.
Okay, thanks for that. Any further information from the department? Are you covered, Minister? DG?
Chair, we are largely covered, except to indicate perhaps that the internal audit, our plan on responding or on addressing the issues or the audit findings that were raised by the AG and our internal audit, that plan was not acceptable. It was not approved by the audit committee last year because they had issues with such. Partly the delay was due to the department querying and disputing such audit findings. So that delayed the process. So by the time we addressed that, time was no longer on our side. We are having a meeting with the audit committee on the 18th of October, during which they will be looking at that plan and then will be indicating whether they are approving our plan or not. But we are hopeful, Chair, because we have engaged with the audit committee throughout the process, we are hopeful that they will be able to approve that plan. Secondly, Chair, and I'm saying this perhaps at the risk of, at some risk, level of risk, the budget, normally it is said that we spend so much but we only achieved this much. It is not only on, the budget is not only spent on the APP. There are certain operational matters that on which we do spend the budget. The other issue is that where we have not achieved a target, it is not necessarily that we did not spend. Because where it is yellow, when we have started spending, and the yellow is determined by having achieved more than 50% of that target. So where we would have achieved about 40%, there would be expenditure, but it reflects on the presentation, and as per the DPME guidelines, it will reflect as not having been achieved, it will be under red. What I'm trying to say in short is that the red and the yellow must not be read as no expenditure at all, because in some instances we would have spent money on the targets there. So perhaps our expenditure versus achievement must be looked at within that context. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. That then comes the submission by the department on this annual report. A number of issues obviously have been raised. The minister does give us light about what happened to other members or officials of the department, especially those that relate to finance. They've jumped the ship. I guess the immediate question that follows there is any recourse that shall be there for them to be brought back to account on any transgressions that shall otherwise have been there, as the minister indicated that some of those you have begun a process of a corrective measure on the part of those as part of consequence management. So it would be important just to get a sense of any records. Are they gone? Nothing happened? Will they be brought in the event of any, corrective measure expected? That would be one area, once members are still making up their minds on the specific areas they might wish to engage in. I also mentioned in the correspondence, I mean, I see there is mentioning being made about support or promotion of black business as you continuously engage in your program, this department. In building this or that infrastructure. The correspondents were very specific talking about promotion of black leadership. If it is possible, because as you outsource, if you like, some of that work to some of those implementing agents, even now as you get to use more of your construction unit. This issue does arise again of promotion of black industrialists. I make a very clear distinction between support for black business and promotion of black industries. I do make that point very clear. We always make examples about talking to your water boards and their budget, for instance, for chemicals. And all of those budgets are literally used in sourcing such chemicals from one company who are involved called NCP. There could probably be two others, but this one is leading. Now, if you were then to create such a critical mass among these water boards and create a state-owned, if you like, chemical company, wherein they source from that same state-owned chemical company. I'm even told that NCP, historically, it would have been a state-owned. For some reason, it is now in the private hands. I'm being very specific on this one. You also do have your pipes, you know, this water board from time to time. TCTA, they get involved in huge projects. Your pipes, your pumps, your valves. At times we even hear that you import some of the valves from Germany and these other countries. Now, for me, these are some of your areas that your black industrialists are supposed to mushroom out of. If this is, you know, a government expected promoting black empowerment, black economic empowerment. So I'm as blunt as such on this specific matter. The debt recovery plan is a sore point that continues to be around our neck. One so wishes that we should have one specific way forward that deals with this issue. The age of these debts keeps going forward. Government has a policy, a 30-day policy upon which any invoice is to be expected to pay for. Granted, your situation has been, since last year beginning, has been that it is, so far as your accruals among others. And this is typically a situation that continues even in the coming financial year, let alone the year we are upon. I just thought, let me just raise those few, if other members have any specific issue. Mr. Bafson, not as Mr. Hugo, sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want clarity, please. On page 29, the department talks of 523.6 million on the water leaked that was overspent and budgeted for. But the Auditor General talks about 392 million. On page 25 of their presentation. Can someone just explain why there is a difference? Do I read it wrong, or what is the problem?
Thank you, Chair. Just to touch base on the first question you asked the Minister,
Was there any disciplinary action taken against officials responsible for incurring or permitting irregular expenditure? And my second question would be, what effective steps did the department take to prevent unauthorized expenditure amounting to the 933 million war and leaks programs? Yeah, thank you.
The auditor raised an issue of late submission of statements which delayed them in the reporting by the department. But what might have been the reason for the delay? Number two, you indicated the issue of the dispute between the department and AXA. You said it was resolved in quarter four. Can you share with us what is it that made the matter to be closed? Because apparently you were disputing issues that the Auditor General is overstepping, if I may put that way. And then what made you to close the issue? And last one is the issue of the plan. The plan, do you have or will you be having a plan to deal with this irregular wasteful expenditure? Because it keeps on coming and it just coming out of time. Thank you.
Okay.
Should be it for now, taking that as to be round number one. Minister?
Thank you, Chair Minister, for asking me to start. On the issue of how we closed the disputes with the Auditor General, I would ask Mr. Polnare to respond to that because it was largely on the WTE side. But safe to say, Chair, that the department ended up conceding, accepting the audit findings, and deciding to move on instead of delaying the process by disputing those audit findings. That's how we closed it. On what plans are there to prevent irregular expenditure, I will ask the acting CFO to respond. And the acting CFO will also respond to the over expenditure, the difference between our figure and the figure presented by the AGUSA. I will ask Mr. Polnare also to respond to the issue of the age of debts. But safe to say, Chair, that we have taken the advice that was provided last time of selling the debtor's book to the bank. The acting CFO said that he will explore that avenue. And also to indicate that, as the Chair and honorable members are aware, there is an IMTT on this that issue, largely, Chair, we repeat, largely this debt is from municipalities. Some of them, rightfully so, are in dire straits themselves and are unable to pay, but there are those that have got their own issues. Mr. Polder will add to that as well. On the issue of building black industrialists, I'm not sure whether I'm able to leave this to Minister for Minister to respond to, because there's a process that's underway. And also leave the issue of the war leaks. The acting CFO will respond to the differences in figures. The Minister will respond to the other issues related to what he has indicated so to me. Just in case maybe you think I'm delegating upwards. It was an instruction. Okay. I think, Chair, the NCOP chemicals and what, I'm not sure whether there's any colleague here that knows about it. You're aware of it? Okay. I'm not aware, Chair, of that company that is selling chemicals to our water board or to our entities. If any of my colleagues is aware, they can assist in responding to that. There's a question on whether those that have, because people have jump shipped, whether we have lost or not, whether there's a recourse. Yes, there is a recourse. There are criminal cases that have been opened, and we are also following up on several claims against such individuals. The honourable members will be aware that the SIU is pursuing a civil case, and we are joining the SIU on that one. And we will start in some. Actually, we have started some on our side as a department on those that were not in the SIU. So yes, we are pursuing the matter. I hope honourable members will recall that I did report here that we insisted on continuing with measures against those, and we were taken to court. We lost at court, but we lost on some technicalities. It's not that we don't have a case. That is why we are pursuing the matter even after that case, because it was an issue of whether we can pursue action, disciplinary action as a department against somebody that has resigned. And what needs to be remembered as well is that person resigned with immediate effect. There was no serving of notice, which could have afforded us an opportunity to do something within the notice period. So that is the matter that's with the court, and that is what we lost at court, not the material significance of the case itself. So I think that before Minister Rada, let me give to Paul Rem, followed by the acting CFO, then we get to the
first point on the appeal of last year. I think the previous CFO felt that specifically on the TCDA and qualification, he felt that we just needed more time, which was just the way that we handled the entry, that we appealed on that. But we sorted that out now. This year it's actually very quick to do it. We just had to put some journal through to do that. But last year he felt that we just needed more time, that we could have done it. But I think that's, so we've withdrawn the appeal, and it hasn't continued this year. Into this year, we've been able to clear that. On the debt, on the age of the debt, our debt continues to grow. It's still growing. It's 12.4 million at the moment. Municipalities are still not paying us. We're only collecting 90% of the debt.
Million or billion?
Billion. 12.4 billion. 12.4 billion, of which 4.4 of that 12.4 relates specifically to TCDA. On TCDA, we bill on the Vaal River, we bill the customers, but the income agreement with TCDA says that we've got to pay them across what we bill. So we bill the customers, we bill them 100 rand, TCDA bill us the same figure. So the income agreement says we've got to pay them whatever we bill the customers. They'll bill us, and we've got to pay that across. So we've been carrying that deficit, that 10% that we're not recovering, we've been carrying all the years. So of our 12.4 billion rand outstanding debt, 4.4 billion of that relates to TCDA. And it's mainly municipalities not paying us, as well as water boards. But water boards are not paying us because the municipalities are not paying them. This is specifically City Bank Water, other part of OWTE, 2.4 billion. But the municipalities owe them 3 billion. So it all comes down to the municipalities not paying the water boards and the WTE directly. Now, we're part of the INTT on the debt collection. Started with ESCOM, initially it was only in ESCOM, and you'll recall last year this portfolio committee requested the Minister of Finance to come, as well as the Minister of Caucus, to come and talk to us. And at that meeting they decided that the water will now be part of the IMTT. The IMTT employed a panel, they registered a panel earlier this year to look at the dispute that Eskom were having with the local government. That scope was then extended to look at the debt restructuring of municipalities and looking at the debt collection. The panel, advisory panel, have nearly finalized the report. They haven't released it yet. But at last week, the technical INCC last week, they recommended that water and the water board do get their own panel to come and look specifically at water, because the existing one was very focused on Eskom problems that they were having. It wasn't ideal for us. So they recommended that we appoint our own advisory panel to look specifically at the debt of the water boards and the water trading entity. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
The figure of 523.6 million on all leaks relates to actual payments which were made for the all leaks program. The presentation did reflect a note there that the final fund shift environment reduced the overspending. The 392 million which is presented by the Auditor General is actually goods and services, overspending on goods and services under program one. So the 523 is the gross amount, exactly what was paid before we applied the environment and the shift. And then regarding unauthorized expenditure, how are we going to prevent the recurrence of the 900 million? There are various interventions that the department has put in place. One of them is the awareness within the organization about all these areas of unauthorized expenditure, fruitless, wasteful, and regular expenditure. Ensuring that the officials across the department are aware of the truth and the don't, what is right, what is wrong. We also have a regular issuance of communicate to all the officials. But above all, most of this amount actually is more to do with overspending of your goods and services. So there were overcommitments that were made. So one of the interventions now is to ensure that we do not spend money that we do not have as a department. So that is one of the interventions, that before you engage in any commitment, you have to obtain confirmation, which is standard, but the enforcement of that control, what management has reinforced, that there would be no commitments that are not confirmed by the department, that there are funds in the department. And that extends now to the water board as well, all the your rent water being another. Regarding irregular expenditure, is the same approach about the awareness within the organization. The consequence management that was mentioned earlier on, that officials now will become aware that there are some of the behaviors that will not be tolerated. And there's also a process where before an award is made, we have risk management making sure that they review the process to make sure that we have followed proper procedures. So there are those built-in controls within the system. And then with regard to the water board as well, the implementing agent, there is a review of the agreement between the department and the IA. So all their procurement, as was mentioned earlier on, there's a process that will be enforcing that those procurements that are made on behalf of the department come through the department for confirmation and approval. We issued out circulars in the previous financial year, but those circulars weren't always complied with. Hence the review of the memorandum of agreement to ensure that those aspects of compliance that we need the implementing agents to comply with are built into the new MOU that will be entering with the water board. Then there will be continuous monitoring of compliance that will adhere to the internal controls that has been established by the department.
Chairperson.
You know, when the CFO was talking, he says we make our, or we'll make our officials aware. And you are indicating that you have been doing this thing. And then there are also memorandum of understanding which you signed, which they did not comply with. Is that enough? Is it enough to make people aware? If you can make your own research in your in the department, you will find that people are aware. They know that if you do this, this will be the result. They are aware. My question is just making them aware on something that they are aware of. Is it enough? We need a more robust approach. To ensure this thing does not happen. Remember, if a person just, as you're saying, approves something that was not supposed to be approved, and then uses funds that were not supposed to be used, is under your watch, and nothing is happening, that thing will recur, will happen again, you see, because we did not take action. And another one sees the same thing, and sees the same thing that has happened, and you did not take action. The other person will also do the same thing. You see, because you did not take action right from the beginning. What more robust thing that can convince us as the COVID? No, no. Now the department has changed. Now since I have a new charge, you want to really to take action against any person that is wrongdoer. Not just to say aware. Any person is aware. Every person knows that 121 kilometers per hour is an offense. But they are doing it. What do you do? Want something robust?
Thanks. We asked the other day a question about the total budget and the total spend on water in this country. Your mission talks to having to ensure universal access of all South Africans to equitable water resources and sustainable water and sanitation services. And then it enlists a few other areas under that mission of that subject. Having been in on as part of our study tour in Netherlands, where you get a total budget of water, whether private or public, specific taxes obviously for specific provinces, that tops revenue. We take an interest in that approach in the context of us as a department being the leader in this sector as part of the state. You have a number of these other players that are also involved, whether in the private or whether local or whether provincial. There are other players that are involved in water space. Now, the interest, now that we're talking about the annual report, would be more on the expenditure on a bigger scale, not talking about your 15.6 billion rand budget. We're not talking about that. There's a bigger budget where in industry players, they play a role, your agriculture, also play, you have other people that have other sources of water that they source directly. Your energy suppliers. Now, would you have been able to go through such an exercise such that as a country, as leaders in the water space, you are able to get a sense as to what is the total budget and what is the total expenditure each year insofar as water area is concerned? The other related question talks to irrigation boards, their accounting, what we call them, how they account. Here you're talking about over 65% of our water resource being used by point where when you go through any process of pricing and tariffs, a tariff setting, this is your major area of interest that you take. And to put it bluntly, your wife commercial farmer. Now, this is your peak user of our water resource. But as to whether you always talk of no more than or no less than 240 of those water of those irrigation boats, as a result that you are not able to bring them here to account, you always worry as a member of parliament as to how do they then account, because it's quite a huge chunk of water. The other day you hear since 2014, I must say, that they are now going to be transformed into being water, what do you call them?
User association.
Since 2014, that transformation has been coming, it's end of the term now. To a point where the extent in which, you know, you have such, you know, a situation that nothing is happening, you begin to ask all sorts of questions in your mind as to why is that the case? You know, are they holding everything at ransom, these irrigation boards, that they continue to become a law unto themselves? A case in point is when they transgress in my constituent area called Patensi. 200 staff members simply just pushed away, they are gone. They are no longer employees. They are told to do certain jobs that are technical, that they are not trained for. But through CCPA, they are gone, those employees. Now they are a law unto themselves in that context. That transformation has been coming forever. And clearly, before our term comes, I'm sure we shall still be having them, even way after our term shall have come to an end. Now that is the issue that we take an interest in. And then equally, your CMAs, you hear stories about prototypes. You know, the CMAs, you know, they come and go. They're like more of a yo-yo. You know, today is going to be 9 CMAs, the other day is going to be 1 CMA, the other day you have prototype CMAs. You never get to know whether we are going or coming on the CMAs. Granted, we'll be having them tomorrow, but now that it has come by here, yeah, obviously we are free to take such questions. Anyway, any further question? We're fine. Okay, Minister, did you?
Chair, honourable members, I'm just going to respond to the point that you make around the total budget. At the moment, the reality is that we don't have a number in terms of total expenditure on water across the value chain. The closest we've come to in terms of getting to numbers around the infrastructure that is managed within the public space, but certainly we can we'll engage with National Treasury to see how they can help us. Because even from the benchmarking reports that we get from local government, it's quite difficult just to disaggregate the water component out of there, both in terms of their revenue and also the O&M costs. So the public space infrastructure side, that we've taken from what we pick up as the CAPEX, we're able to pick up as the projected CAPEX expenditure, my apology. But we'll certainly take the point forward and see whether the National Treasury can indeed assist us on that type of exercise.
On promoting black industrialists, and Chair, you did comment about the fact that the department has got a manufacturing plant that manufactures equipment for building these dams, situated in the Northern Cape. The equipment and materials we're going to use in Glen William, as we started now doing the work there, that equipment is going to be manufactured there. So the, insofar as the department is concerned, it's got that capability. However, you may be asking a broader question. Now, yesterday, this is what we said yesterday. Because people ask that question directly. Because you recall, Chair, that we referred to a 51-30-19 split ratio in the budget policy speech, saying that we will use the internal capacity at 51%, and of course it will be a triple P model. The implementation of the 30% set aside is not an easy thing. Part of the problem is that yesterday I've instructed, in fact, is what I was telling people there, the Glen William, because they were very seriously asking this question. I said to them, because of this challenge, what we have done is to instruct our officials, the project manager and the team, to approach the construction site, so that when we identify the work that needs to be done, and we are prioritizing in terms of the CPSA, these youth, women, and even people with disability, where it's appropriate, that we have to train people, because that's the only way you can come up with a sustainable model. Because if now we were to simply do it in the manner that says, okay, this is a black person, black feeling black, and woman and young, it means that you might end up having the same people across the country. Because you would not be generating new groups of people and therefore building the necessary spread of this opportunity to most people who are historically disadvantaged, as envisaged by the PPFA. So that's what we're going to do now. Because Zimbabwe, again, is going to be led by our own internal capacity, Construction South. Similarly, we're going to do the same with the other provinces, because you've got Construction South, West, East, North, etc. So that capacity is there, but what we want to do, we want to use these opportunities to work with this sector, with these sitters, to build that capacity where we work, so that when we leave a project area, we have created new capabilities among the historically disadvantaged people. Now, it may be that, in fact, I didn't think about it. I don't know if we will discuss your question about whether or not we could use our own capability in terms of manufacturing to develop this kind of manufacturing capacity capability in terms of building the, as you're saying, the black industries. But I think that's a beautiful point. We will have to consider that in terms of the current manufacturing capability. Because as we use more the internal capacity to use, we will actually require more of the equipment in order for us to be able to build the dams. And then dams got to be lifted now. We already have instructed the team. They started, you know, planning for that, so that is done by our internal capacity. So this is a very important one because it's a morale booster and excitement amongst the team that's actually started working there. We think that we'll follow that. Jay, thanks very much. I didn't really think about using the capabilities that we have and then lock it into the Black Industrialist Development Program. Thank you for that. The war on leaks. Jay, I have used this metaphor here. If your goat is stuck in the mud, trying to drain water in the dam, when you get it out there, you're going to be yourself. You know, you're going to come out there. You can't come out clean. You can't. This is exactly the situation with regards to the war on leaks. We have spent a lot of money on war on leaks, this money which has been reflected here. Now you're talking about, I don't know, how many thousands of youngsters there? That's right. We're talking about that big figure, 9,000 youngsters. Phases 1 and 2. Now, what do you do? This is irregular spending, and it is it was situated in program 1. There's no provision for it. Yet what it is meant for, in fact, is operation, is part of operation and maintenance. With the development of that branch, in terms of being infrastructure build, operation and maintenance, then you can use this. For example, there's a very interesting thing here. These youngsters, again, every month, they were given 30 million rand stipend. I don't know how it was calculated and so on, but that's what happened. The department was still even owing the training institutions money from last year, May. So, we had the choice to make to stop the program and therefore incur fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Because you spend a lot of money already. They are writing now, end of September. Phase 1 is writing exams. Now, the phase 2 group is going to, I think, finalize March next year somewhere there. Now, I must take responsibility here. I said to the team, and I did make this clear to Treasury as well, because I had to sit with the team at Treasury. We put together a technical team that's composed of two sides, and I had to make myself to take responsibility and to say, I prefer that we finalize this project and stop it. You cannot take out these youngsters out of those colleges. 9,000 of them, some of them writing now, and say no, because these guys, we should have acted in the first place when we started to stop it. I'm not talking about committee, I'm talking about all of us as government as well as the oversight institutions. This was done at the highest level of government. It was the President of the Republic and the Minister for Water and Sanitation. We all know this. So I then said to the team, let us pay and have results rather than not pay, end up with fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We paid that money for these kids to write now. They are writing now. When we finished this last group, of course we had to pay back from last year as well. When we finish this last group, we're going to stop the program. Because it's just expensive, because it was never planned. Yet we need the skill. Now, example. On the last day, on Friday, a team of business people, they came to me. They said, we want you to be our political champion. We want to identify 66 municipalities, whereby In fact, we have identified 66 municipalities. There's a program in my backyard that they brought with me. They said, we want to, we're taking up the presence and challenge. We want to work with him, water, and starting with him fully, to clean the water and do all of these things, etc. But they're looking at 66 municipalities. If today we didn't have this meeting, I wanted to bring them here. We had agreed already. We stopped them yesterday because I thought I was going to be able to attend the meeting that's taking place now on the investment headed by the president today. But I said to them, let's look at another date. Now, one of the things they will do is to absorb all the censors. And just by accident, they will absorb. The team doesn't know yet, except for my advisor. Yeah. Here is a document that is produced by them. Among them, it is BBC, it's ASISA, it is DPSA. DPSA being is going to be the one that is actually playing the key role in terms of project management. So I met with them, CPSA brothers as well, they said, this is what we want you to politically champion for us, with the municipalities. They categorize two groups. So the war on these kids, I was very happy to hear this, because when they said that, I said, my God, even though it is irregular, but it won't be wasteful and fruitless expenditure. That's what then, this statement is about, which came as a very good opportunity for us. So they will absorb all of it. We will all be happy with that. And surely, out of that, there will be this capacity that will help municipalities. Because on the 19th also, we have a meeting with all our stakeholders, because we want to deal with water and sanitation. Water and sanitation. There is a company of black industrialists. I've asked them to submit a formal informal proposal. They're saying, we're proposing that we will work with government. And they've asked me to link them up and discuss this with the Minister of Human Services. They say we want to build this, because the model is complicated, that's why I wanted them to write it, so that it can be discussed and people understand things. He's saying, we would want to build this. We want to work with them as they build houses. We want to then look into that, the technology to identify leaks and so on. If it costs, the donor was saying an important thing this morning. How much water do you use per year? If that were to take place, they call themselves aqua something. You know, and so they want to do that, so that all the water that leaks out of the system, non-revenue water. This is what they say they want to do. Now, this is a black industrialist group amongst this, because BBC is black business council. So these are some of the opportunities, all the proposals they are making, they're coming up with, which are exciting. We will see how it turns out, but they are responding to the president's call for South Africa First, as they said. So I will be reporting to this committee, and I hope that it will be successful. I like the question, Chair, the point you also, the honorable members, were asking about. Water use associations, CMAs, and proto CMAs, and all that. Because we have taken a decision that the proto CMAs should be transformed into fully fledged CMAs. Now, but also, the system that we have, the institutional arrangement that we have, let's put it that way, is so expensive, by the way. You've got CMAs, you've got water boards, all of them, then somehow you have to make, it takes a huge effort to manage and control the way things are running into those institutions. They're very expensive. So I've had to ask the team, when I came in, I said institutional alignment. That was meaning, we are looking at that. an organizational realignment now, reorganization. Because that one of organization is in terms of that's what we have done in terms of the, you remember, Chair, in the policy speech. But this one is a tricky one. Because the value chain of water resources and services, it definitely needs to be revisited so that we cut down waste. As things stand right now, we're spending a lot of money here. We get money from municipalities and we owed money, we owe money to these boards ourselves, the department. All that thing happens, and amongst the problems that are identified there, if you were to go to the deep end of them, you may find that part of it is an institutional and systemic problem. So this point you're making, Chair, is receiving our attention as we speak now. We'll see how it turns out over the next few years. Hopefully it will come to that point where we could all say we've done it together. Lastly, Chair, I will pursue this matter earlier on, even when I was treasurer here. The total water expenditure each year. The honourable member did mention this thing when I was treasurer here. I wrote it down and I liked that because I'm still learning. This is one of the things that I pick up today to check, because it should really be regularly done. Because otherwise you wouldn't be, that's, you don't remember talking about the blue and green drops at the time. It should not be the case that today we have the situation we're having in the Revival River system. The Revival River system. Now there are these 44 pumps, there are these three pump stations with 44 pumps that are in the Citibank regional sewer system. Now they are messed up, particularly by these people who want copper wire. They still use copper wire. So they just destroy these water pumps. Now we have one water pump. We have worked with Mkuleni because we've taken responsibility informally, but with agreement with all of us, I've brought together the teams from local, district, and province. So we have a team that's working together, both at the technical and political level. And we then agreed to share the resources, and we tested this. You remember me talking about the 2.5 kilometers in terms of pumps, each pump station. Now, in fact, it turns out that when we tested the thing and actually doing it, that the pumps that we've already fixed in two of them is actually, it costs 3.1, between 3.1 and 3.5. Because now it turns out that, in fact, this is the real problem. Therefore, you now require to have this, what do you call this thing? When people steal, what do you call this thing? What is that? When they vandalize, you see them. What is this CCTV? Thank you. You have to fit all of those things and you have to have people working 24 hours a day. So that costs us between 3.1 and 3.5, depending on the complexity. Go to Ferriana, and I went there the other day. That's about you have a reserve dam supposed to stay empty. But it is full of grey water, completely full. When you go there, it's just there. So you can see, and the next thing, there is a pump station messed up. Just on the edge of town, if you're in here. That's where the capital of Sydney water is. So we're busy with that. Now we've done an assessment of the cost, it's 141 million. Now, we did not budget for that. I have asked this team, the Director General, notwithstanding that, said to them, come up, let's work, let's reprioritize. I will go to Parliament. I take responsibility. That's why I'm saying it here, Chair. Because we can't sit with that situation where the Wild River is messed up by generally and basically city name regional sewer scheme, which has been messed up. We have prioritized the Sibukate, the pump station. We've said that money must go out there. Now, we have a trade as we speak there, because there was money that was outstanding, which we paid in July. Workers went on strike, company threatened to go. Even now, they're giving us until the 10th, which is tomorrow, because we owe them 53 million rand. I asked the DG yesterday, actually, say, hey, I sorted out the problem there. People have went to work, now they are not paid. They're threatening to go out. Meaning, therefore, it will exacerbate the situation where we've already paid the 3.5 in order to correct the pump there. So I've asked them, get the money, because we cannot allow our people. We've already been the South African Human Rights Commission, 25, 26, 27. Minister of Health now is all before them. We have to report end of this month, of November. And it is correct. So I'm taking this responsibility. We can't kill our people. Business people are threatening to pull out of the area. We're talking about between 7 million and 12 million people serviced by that. You're talking about 46% of the economy of this country. That's the half of the economy. So I'm taking responsibility. I've asked here to do that. And after this meeting, I'm going to ask here, have you signed that so that the head of Gauteng, the money is available, and they've reprioritized because we met as government. So that we can clean that water. At least in the short to medium term. And then start working on in long term kind of solutions to that. We are very busy with that, Chair. It's going to cause a bit of problems for me, but it's for the best interest of all people in the country, including business. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, that should be it. This is an annual report for 2017-2018, brought to us by both the Relative Authority and the accounting officer leading the team water and transportation in South Africa. We have raised a few questions, we have raised comments. The situation, clearly it is getting better from where we are coming from. There is remedial action that we are hearing, that we are seeing. I would have thought the minister would have started by saying this is the report. Of course you did partially do that when you mentioned that some officials have since jumped the ship. I would have thought that you would go further in saying we now have these following senior officials, as we hear now that we have acting CFOs, two of them. As we also hear that we normally would have had a Ms. Manyakanyaka coming before us, now we have another person. As we hear that we might have been having the DDG for infrastructure was not with us yet. Of course the report did indicate that there is a process in motion so that we get a holistic picture. For me it is not a negative reporting, I must say, but rather more of a positive in the context of action now being seen to be taken
in resolving problems that have been within the department. You have a number of those senior managers or officials that are currently facing all sorts of disciplinary action, as it were. Taking this parliament into your confidence, this is what is happening. I would have thought that you would have taken that route, again, getting a sense for these members to understand, you know, that indeed there is action taking place. Well, that's what we've been talking about all the time, that we have been having all these problems, but there has never been any recourse. We haven't been hearing much of any action being taken by those that are doing wrong. So that's what we have been going through. And then of course I can safely say that it is work in progress. It is the second time, I must say, 2016-17 you had qualified opinion. It is 2017-2018 where now you continue to have another qualified opinion. The kinds of actions that are being taken, I just hope and trust that they give us room for change out of the current situation of a qualified opinion to an opinion that is better than that. You want to comment, Deputy Minister, before we conclude?
Chair, thank you very much. I thought that because, and by the way, you're right, because indeed what we should, you asked me to talk about is historical. I was just locating it within the 1819. Chairperson, we took action on the basis of a report on Fumile, just Fumile. We took action there. And that is what drove the CFO to resign and the acting CFO to resign. But there are three other officials in the same financial management branch of the department. There were five of them. CFO was gone, has jumped. The manager, county management, has jumped, who was acting. This one is resigned, also serving a notice now, but she's already facing, she's still facing the disciplinary action because the others two were jumping because of that. There are two more. So there are five officials, which means that the financial management branch, really it is in deep trouble because just because of action that is being taken by the administrative leadership of the department. Now, but you remember, Chair, there was also when we arrived, according to the department, there was this matter about DDGs. Some of the DDGs were facing action, so that process is moving ahead. But also the DDG for a program three. I heard the SCOPA during the SCOPA. You remember there was this civil claims matter that was raised in SCOPA, and we heard what the DDG said. But we're taking action, notwithstanding that, which is happening now from the side of SIU and so on, but we're taking action as a department. She has been suspended now, and today she appeared before the disciplinary today. So there is action that is being taken. The good thing about the department, though, is that there are good officials in that department below the DDG. I'm satisfied that we will not collapse even that branch. They are very young and very energetic. I'm coming across them all the time now, and I'm surprised and sweetly so. So Chair, we are going to quickly fill the advertisers. I've asked the DG to But what we have there now, and like you can see, that's the acting CFO, solid young fellow, not so young, but young relative to where it must have been one of your during your days as a student leader. So, so you can see that's many of them. Look, I've seen them, so I'm happy that we will. Particularly because one of the things we're doing is to make sure that there is a system of accountability in the department itself. Where you have DDGs who have not been assessed in terms of performance, even now they have not been assessed. I've asked them, I want them to be assessed because I want them to be assessed for last year, but I was told by one DDG that she has not been assessed for 2 years. Now, how do you ensure that there's accountability and therefore there's consciousness in terms of servicing people? Because sometimes people need to, once you have a system and they know that this system is going to be pursued rigorously, they fall into line. Exactly what you were saying earlier on as members of the committee. So we have to do that. Now, we have the first 6 months at the end of this, but I still want that the last year one. That's what I asked DG to do. Make sure that all the DGs submit their performance assessment for 2017-18. Because we have to assess them, even if it is a little bit late, we have to assess them. But for the first 6 months, certainly, by the 15th I've given them, but to the 15th of this month, say to them, I want them to be assessed, all of them, from April to the end of September, which is 6 months. That's how this the system works, so that we can then make sure that those who do not do their work, they are accountable. I've said that they know, and I'm firmly behind that, and I'm going to make sure it happens. I'm going to ask the Deputy Minister to, I've asked her already in any case, but she's now in Cuba now, she's representing us with young people. I've asked her to chair the performance assessment of DDGs. She's going to do that for the next year and for now. So that we make sure that the DDGs are assessed thoroughly. And where they're failing, we make sure that we make them aware of that and say to them, this is the corrective action that's going to be taken by themselves, first of all. Before it comes to any community thing, but they must correct the way in which they do things. It's very difficult, Chair, I must say this thing. This is an observation they don't know I've made. If you don't say to DDGs in that department, I want to see you tomorrow. You just say today, I want to see the DDGs, you won't find a word. Where is this DDG? The other one ran away until, I don't know, I won't want to talk about the details or specifics. But that's how indisciplined that department is, if it exists at all. Thank you, Chief. It's going to come right. Thank you.
Okay, that shall take us to the end of our session for today. In the absence of any other hands, comments or questions, this meeting is adjourned. Until we meet tomorrow at 9:30, taking the entities both Water Research Commission, TCT, and also the Catchment Management Agency. The CMAs have successfully lobbied to be taken first because they have other engagements. The CEO has to go somewhere. I'm talking here specifically about Nkomati Street. The chairperson has called and pleaded
That's what we are to be doing tomorrow. Again, tomorrow we have a full day committee session, hoping that we shall finish around the same time, if not earlier. Meeting that time. Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister, and the team again, for being so frank.